I plant myself there. Remember when they said you have to plant seeds? You have to plant your wave. If you don't plant your wave, nobody's going to know. Magic Johnson plants his wave. Nobody knew. Bill Gates plants his wave. You're planting your wave.
Welcome back to another episode of the Making Magic podcast. I'm Sean Jay, your host, and I'm a professional magician, speaker, and 3D designer. And this is all about inspiring conversations with the movers, the shakers, the visionaries, and the makers, the wizards behind the curtain that make the magic for you. Now, if this is your first time tuning into the show, thank you so much for doing so. It really does mean a lot to me because I put a lot of hard work into each and every one of these episodes. Whether you're listening to the sound of my voice on any one of the popular podcast apps or on YouTube, hopefully you'll decide if you're a podcast type of person that you'll follow the show. Follow me along for the ride and leave a healthy review of the show. And if you're here on YouTube, feel free to give this show a thumbs up, comment below, turn on the notification bell, and subscribe. You guys know what to do because I'm all about getting your creative gears turning, and that's what this show is all about. Whether you feel like you're stuck with a certain thought pattern and you want to break out of your current thought pattern, if you feel boxed in and trying to be inspired to think in new ways, well, I've got some of the world's most creative people that are sharing their process with you on this show. So I hope you decide to join me on the journey, and I'll be releasing episodes like every week now. So I hope you guys are enjoying this stuff. So with all that being said, let's learn a little bit more about our next guest. My next guest is an absolute legend in the New York City East Coast hip hop scene, and he's also the first cousin of rapper Busta Rhymes. That's right, Busta Rhymes. He's a rapper, he's a DJ, and an entrepreneur with his own line of products like his own sneakers and brand of water. And he's even appeared in the Flava in Ya Ear remix with the notorious B.I.G., Biggie Smalls, Puff Daddy, and Craig Mack. So you guys, I am so pumped to introduce you to my new homie, and his name is Rampage, the first lieutenant of the original rap group, the Flip Mode Squad. Check this out.
Flatbush stalker, hat flip back just like I'm Jimmy Walker, writer, author, night.
Hey Rampage, welcome to the Making Magic podcast.
Yes, sir. What's up, Sean Jay? Let's get it, brother.
We're gonna get it today. We're gonna dive deep. We're gonna dive deep because
we could definitely do that.
We're gonna do that. And what I like to always kick off this show with is a story. So, okay. Rampage, I'd like you to tell us a story about the very first. Since it's all about creativity. Right. Innovation. I'd like to share with the audience maybe the first beat or the first song that you created. And funny stories are always welcome, and it could be good or bad, whatever you want.
So, the first story, the first beat that I ever got, was from a producer by the name of Backspin the Vibe Chemist from Brooklyn. And it's funny because I never knew how to do the bars, the length of the beat. So he's actually the first one that taught me how to put my raps in song format, like in 8 bars and 16 bars. He's the first person that taught me how to really do that. And he was the first one that gave me my first beat tape on a TDK tape. I think it was a TDK or a Maxell tape. Okay. They don't even make those no more.
That's classic, Maxell.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sorry, kids in the background.
We're doing it live. So what was the reason, I don't know, maybe you already said it, what was the reason why you made it? Were you inspired? Was there any like specific thing that inspired you to go there?
What, to be in the music business or to...
To create your own beat, because I know some MCs, they just work off of already existing stuff.
Well, to make my own beat, I would have to be creative, because again, I was trying to figure out how to write songs to original music. Mm-hmm. And the beat that he always produced for me was an original. You know what I mean? So again, I had to be some type of good where he had to show me how to do the bars real fast, and what was bars and what was hooks, and this is where the chorus went. So he took his time, but I was actually making demos. A lot of people don't know what demos are. Demos, when you demo a song, then you listen to it again, and then you recut it again. Mm-hmm. So you can listen to yourself. So I was in the demo stage, but I was rapping on new music that he created. And he's actually my first producer ever.
And who is this person again?
This is Backspin, the Vibe Chemist.
Backspin, the Vibe Chemist.
That was his name, Backspin, the Vibe Chemist. He always did magic when it came to those beats.
Okay. So he knew how to lay it down, basically, track by track.
When it came to making beats, he was the magician that was making those beats sound good, and he was doing tricks and effects and all type of things with the beats. I seen him do some incredible things, but a couple of years later, he gave me my first hit, which was called "Wild for the Night," and that set it off for me in my rap career. That was one of the songs that was classic to the game that set it off for me. So again, a few years earlier, he was just giving me demo music. Mm-hmm. Just to sharpen my sword. And then a couple of years later, I came back to him and he hit me with a hit featuring Busta Rhymes, which was called Wild for the Night.
Wild for the Night. Okay, so y'all need to look that up. I'm assuming it's out there on YouTube?
Yep, it's on YouTube. It's on all streaming platforms. And actually, it just did another 2 million streams a couple of months ago. It's at over 2 million streams again. So the original went gold, but it's over 2 million streams now.
Okay, so there in the finished edited video, y'all are seeing a link down there below to this, and there are, which is, you know, some context there, and the link to that should be in the show notes as well for you guys listening and watching in the edited version. But you guys are watching the live version now. But what did you learn from making that first classic, basically, the classic that set the stage for Rampage's career?
Well, what I learned is to listen, because, you know, I ain't always had the great ideas. And besides that, I'm collaborating with my first cousin, which is Busta Rhymes. He's my first cousin. So collaborating with him and listening put me in a different tax bracket. It helped me become... It helped me get out where I was from in Flatbush, Brooklyn. It helped me take care of my mom. It helped me put my mom in a position by listening. When you're an artist and you listening to an artist that's already on, it's hard for new artists to listen because we think we know it all. And I really didn't know it all. All I had to do was listen and pay attention. And I had to learn pretty fast because he pushed me right out there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, sometimes as a musician, you got older musicians, you know, that you know of and that's great at what they do. And then us, like underdogs, we sitting there and watching perfection so many years. Now it's time for you to go. It ain't no time. You have to be ready. You have to go. You tried this trick a billion trillion times. You tried rapping a billion trillion times. Yep. But this time it finally worked. Because you stuck with your craft. So anybody's watching this, stick with your craft. Never turn your back on your craft. And my craft ain't never turned this back on me.
I like that.
As long as I practice, I got great.
I like that. Yeah, and I, my favorite saying there, you just said, you know, just by, very straightforward, just by listening, it put me in a different tax bracket. That's pretty awesome.
Definitely.
And you're very right. Like, a lot of people forget the importance of listening. Like, it's been said, the best salespeople are good listeners rather right. than good talkers.
Right. So what I learned, not to cut you off, because I love being on this show, on this platform.
Go for it.
Every artist, I don't care what you do, you're a part of entertainment. If you're an entertainer, then you're an artist. You have to believe in your brand. You have to draw your picture for people to understand who you are and what you do. You have to be consistent as an artist or anything that you do. Every artist draws picture. If you can draw a picture and you can vision your brand, then you can succeed in the entertainment business. It's a lot of patience. It's not something that you pay into. It's something that you invest into at heart, in your soul. You can't pay for talent. Talent's supposed to never pay. That's in anything that you do in the entertainment business.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, what you said there, patience. You know, everybody wants instant gratification, and everybody forgets that saying, you know, it takes like 10 years and 10,000 plus hours to be an overnight success.
Right. Yeah. So you have to be consistent. So anybody that's watching this, that's a new musician, new entertainer, you have to be a visionary and you have to see your future. All of us, we connected because we see our future. How did I get on your show? Because we see our future. We're connected spiritually, and we are chosen. We couldn't pay for this. We're chosen. So every artist that's thinking the same thing on whatever level you are, you have to be consistent, and you have to know in some way in your life that you are going to succeed.
Yeah. Yeah, basically believe it first. Fix it, you're saying, yeah. Fix it in your mind and totally believe it. And then
yes.
Let the spirit source manifest the rest.
Yes, I believe that.
I know you're a big believer of that. That's one of the reasons why I was kind of attuned to what you're doing and just listening to your social media stuff. You know, it's kind of different to see somebody who's so in tune with that and recognize that.
And because... we as artists, we always have our ups and we have downs. And I had a lot of downs more than I had ups. But it's about how you get up from your downs. And it's about your lessons learned from your downs. And I'm one of those artists that I learned a lot by being down. I seen everything. I done seen it. I done painted it. I done focused on it, and now I understand what to do when things like that happen. And nobody is perfect in life, nobody. But by the grace of God, this is why I'm still here to tell people the story and continuously do music, because by the grace of God, like he wakes you up every day. I don't know if everybody believe in God, but I'm just going to try to tell you, God is so real. He plays a big part in my career. I'm sure he plays a big part in your career. And at the end of the day, if we don't walk to it, then he doesn't work. If we don't see the vision, then he can't work. If we don't move towards it, he doesn't work. He doesn't move. Yeah, we can talk, but we have to put it in action. We have to speak it in existence. I'm big on speaking it into existence. When you're in your car and something is going on and you want it to be fixed, you have to learn to, I don't care if you're in the middle of the traffic, you got to, you know, thank you, God. Thank you for waking me up every morning. That I practice these things because I be needing these energies. I be needing to go to the next level. I be wanting to understand. I be asking for knowledge and understanding, more knowledge and understanding. Remember, we're going back to listening. It's when you go against the grain, that's when things don't happen for you. You're impatient. Impatient people don't get to it. They never get to it. They keep going in circles. I'm one of those guys that was going in circles, but until I dropped on my knees and gave praise, everything started opening for me. Until I started recognizing and speaking it into existence and believing in myself and motivating others around me, you can't keep it in your heart. You have to let it go. You have to let, you can't. Things from the past is the past. If you live in the past, you won't be able to get to the future if you're still living in the past. So those dark days of me living in the past, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to feel that feeling no more.
Nope.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, moving forward and learning from the mistakes. And I think, you know, when people talk about failures, it's only a failure if you let it be a failure.
Exactly. You
know, it's
but you have to fall to learn. Everything is a learning. Nobody's perfect. And you know, I fell a couple of times. I'm not going to sit here in front. I think we all fell a couple of times. But then I found my niche. And ever since I found my niche, I've been up. Ever since I found my niche, money has been flowing. Ever since I've been doing me, I'm constantly doing something. I'm never not doing anything. I said, that's the grace of God, but that's me putting in the work. That's me walking towards it. That's me believing in it. That's me believing in faith. That's me believe. I can only speak for me. I can't speak for nobody else. You have to believe in yourself. You have to believe in what you're doing. You have to.
Preach. Preach, man. Preach. Pastor Rampage. Putting the foot down.
Like I said, you're one of my favorite people. I watch you a lot, and
really?
I respect what you do. Yes, sir. That's why when you asked for an interview, I was like, of course.
Oh, thanks, bro.
I watch you every move. Then I got to get you some of them Ramp Low shirts with the bucket hats and the shirts so you could rock out in some Rampage Low sneakers. I got you, bro.
I could rep that for sure, man. I could make a music video.
I got you. Let's
wearing
go.
Wearing that stuff.
Let's go.
Let's go. I sent you that video, remember?
Yes, sir.
The car karaoke I sent you.
Yes, sir.
And
oh.
So I don't want this to be about me because this is already my show. I like to focus on the guests, but I certainly appreciate the compliments any time of day. But I want to focus on Rampage here.
And your energy is crazy. And I saw the magic you be doing, and I love that. So I'm trying to do something Super Bowl weekend, and I'm trying to bring you out. To Phoenix. You know what I'm saying? You're one of my favorite people in the world, man.
Wow.
For real. I love your energy. Whatever you need from your brother is done.
Well, thank you. Thank you, my friend. I'm very surprised to hear that because most of the time on social media, it's a bunch of fake stuff and there's a lot of empty promises, but it's nice to know that I'm hanging
When you asked me to do the show, what did I say? Yep.
You said, no problem. Let's do it.
When MJ called me and said it was you, I was like, of course.
Wow. Okay. Well.
So whenever you call me, you doing something in California, you doing something in Arizona, I'm coming.
Okay. Okay. Well, I do make it to the West Coast. I do filming for Masters of Illusion out there, the TV show. So
I'm trying to do that with you. Let me know.
I'll keep you posted, my friend. So, knowing what you know right now, I'm trying to keep with the flow of the interview, but we can continue this kind of chat afterwards.
Right.
Because I want to make sure my audience gets as much value and understands, you know, where you're coming from. That's why I like to ask questions like this one. So, knowing what you know right now, Rampage, is there anything that you would tell your younger self that would help him to prevent from making those mistakes earlier on? What would you say?
What
to
I
that?
Would tell my younger self is the same thing I told you. Listening. Listening is the key when you want to move in your life, listening. And being a kid, young kid from Flatbush, I was a little hard-headed. And being hard-headed, you learn lessons being hard-headed. What to do and what not to do. And I would tell my younger self, take my time before I walk. Because there's some things in the world that I wasn't supposed to see. It was some things that where I come from in the neighborhood, I wasn't supposed to be in the middle of it. But I was in the middle of it, and that was the part of the environment that I was in. But I had a cousin which was Busta Rhymes, that saw something different from me. And by me listening, it just gave me a whole new way of life, of doing things, of growing up fast and understanding You have to understand what you want to do. You have to be chosen. You can't pay for what you have. You have to work on your craftsmanship. You have to work on your degrees. You have to work on your magic. You have to work on anything that you're trying to do. You can do it. You just got to believe.
You know, everybody needs, whether it's a mentor or a parent or something, you know, there's so many people out there and, you know, that are very unlucky because they actually have parents that tell them the exact opposite. Like I'm sure there's tons of musicians and I know of tons of magicians,
right.
And their parents or their coworkers or their whatever just talked them out of it. And
right.
They never even took the first step. And now it's like 50 years later, whatever, and they're having a midlife crisis. And they're like, man, I wish I coulda, shoulda, woulda. And then they lost that moment.
Right. So again, this is why I say listening and understanding. If you have listening and understanding, first you got to listen to God, then yourself. You need guidance. Everybody who do what we do, you need guidance. The only way you live is with guidance. If you understand faith and believe, then you can move to the next level. But some of us like to rush. See, when you rush, you fall into the hole. When you cut the shortcut, you fall into the hole. When you do it straight and understanding what you're doing, then that's a whole new different game because now you can paint the picture. I tell every artist, what is your vision? Show me what your vision. Don't tell me. Show it to me. Draw it to me. If I'm trying to purchase anything from you, why am I buying something from you? Give me a reason why I'm buying product from you. Give me a reason why I should buy into your image. What we do is image. What we do is make music. What we do is entertain. Why should I spend $20 to come see you at a show? Draw that picture for me. Why should I go buy your NFT? Why should I, you know, these are the questions as artists and artists, you know, what draws me into you? I like how you do your magic. I like your social media, how you putting it together. It's image. Everything is image. But a lot of these artists and a lot of these artists and entertainers, they want to do it, but they don't got an image. They don't know what their brand is. They look for their manager to tell them what their brand is. That's called homeboy operation. We don't do that.
Homeboy
operation. Because again, homeboys is, they got all these ideas, but that's really not helping you. Sometimes us as artists got to help ourselves before we need a manager. You can't manage something if I ain't good. You can't walk on the surface if you ain't got no surface to walk on. So this is for all the artists that's coming up. Stop being afraid. That's number one. If you know that you can do the craft, you need to continue and do it. This is how you get better. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. All well said. All well said. So the big key takeaways here is patience, listening,
right,
and having a good foundation with yourself first rather than relying on someone else to just do it for you. Because I've noticed a common mistake with artists is they expect, oh, if I get with the right manager, my career will change.
That
not
don't
exactly true.
Work. That's not true. I can tell you what could be true. Let's just say you as an artist, no matter what you do, you're great at what you already have a built-in fan base, right? By you having a built-in fan base because you built that 2 or 3 years, you're already doing the show without a manager. Mm-hmm. Because now people are calling you, they're asking you for t-shirts. That, you know, your brand, your walking billboard. So becoming a walking billboard, you need a manager now. Because there's something, things that you built already, you want to make sure you get it by having a manager, because now the manager can manage something. Because manager, when you're busy, then you're going to miss something.
100% facts, my friend. Yeah. It's more like what you're saying is build yourself first. Get to where you are solid, and then once you're solid, then the manager can handle all the moving parts. Because not to discount a manager is amazing and very crucial and helpful once the artist is at the right level of maturity and at the right stage of his or her career. Is that
correct?
Yeah. Got it. Okay. Yeah. All makes sense. And yeah, so just get right with your art, get right with your craft, focus on your craft. And then once all that's solid, then maybe the manager.
Right. Cause it's in steps. We know that. How many times we went up and jumped down and went up and dropped down, but then we finally got it because we had to perfect it. I can't bring nobody else on if I didn't perfect it. I can't bring nobody else on if I don't take care of me first. I got to be 100 before I bring anybody on my team. I have to be right because I got to have something that the team can help me work, help me market, help me get it out there. But if I'm not right, then nothing is right.
Nothing. All good. Good said. Well said. So very good. So we kind of took a little dip into how you got your start with this beat and this alchemist guy who was making these tracks for you, and then your first cousin. You know, you had life experiences where you were running in full steam ahead, probably missing out a lot of things. Then you fell down a bunch of times, and then you learned from those mistakes in your purgatory of whatever. And then you come back out, and then you get the manager, and you're more mature and you're a smarter man. So now you've got all this experience, Rampage, in your tool belt. How about you tell us about something that you have recently made? Because we talked about what you made in the past. Let's talk about now. And I know there's a lot of things that you're making right now. You got water, you've got shoes.
So I hooked up with this company called Soul Fang. They do sneakers. I'm 50% of the company. So I have a business mind because I listen and I understand business. See, when you understand business, then it's never personal. See, we as people, when we in our artist mode, sometimes people can't do business with us because we don't know how to be business orientated. So by me having these experiences, I'm learning the business as we go. So now I can present myself to a company and build a picture that they want to do business with me. So you have to keep relationships. I tell every artist, musician, whatever you do, you have to keep a relationship with people. If you catch a good rapport with people, that creates money, revenue. If you don't think about money and you go out here and be a creator, then you can generate money. Me, I meet people, I take business cards. I used to go to seminars and listen to these CEOs in my field, though, the CEOs of the music business on top of the game and why they are so successful. They never tells you why they successful. They only tell you certain things that they want you to know. So that's the trick. So it wouldn't have me going in circles. It just gave me motivation when I'm listening to these multimillionaires. So they say when you surround yourself with multimillionaire, you become a multimillionaire. I'm a multimillionaire for real. But I'm only a multimillionaire because I listen and I understand what business is. So getting back to what I have new, which is my sneaker endorsement, I have that for a long-term deal. Like if I was a ball player, I can create sneakers. I've always been a fan of sneakers. I've always been a fan of the sneaker culture. I've always been a sneakerhead. So now I'm in position where I can put other people in position to create sneakers. You know what I'm saying? We nice. Might have to deal with you to create a magic sneaker. You know what I'm saying? This yeah. is what I mean by relationship. So I have a company just like how Jordan got Jumpman. He saw a company, Jumpman. He bought it. He threw his logo on it. They're not Nikes, but they're independent Jumpman. But it didn't matter because he knew that if he put his logo on a certain sneaker, he knew that it was going to sell. You know what I'm saying? That was smart thinking, right? Doing a 50-50 deal with Nike, but the other 50, you're doing Jumpman 100% you. So what he did was he bought distribution. What I did was I merged with distribution. Same kind of thing. I merged with distribution. Now I am distribution. Now I don't have to worry about anybody creating any shoe but me. I get to create the shoe. I get to tell people what I want, what I don't like, and what colors. And, you know, I'm in a position by having relationship. I'm in position by listening. I'm in a position where if I sold 5,000 sneakers at $158, how much money is that?
It's 5,000 with a couple extra zeros on there.
So again, these are the positions by me listening and by me walking in faith. These are the positions that I'm walking into. That's just on sneakers. Now I have an endorsement with headphones. You know, again, another same situation where I have a long-term deal with a company, Cranks. They make headphones. I wasn't thinking about making no headphones, but being though that I had a relationship, see, remember again, relationships. Mm-hmm. Every deal that I do, there's a relationship. There's somebody that want to do business with you because they feel that you're a great person and they want you a part of their brand.
Yep.
One is listening and understanding. I do a deal with this company, Cranks. Boom. Damn. Cranks is saying to me, well, Rampage, you can make some headphones. Let's go. You could do a long-term deal with us. Let's same thing, 50-50. So I got two companies at 50-50. That makes it 100, right? Let's say I move 7,000 pair of headphones at $100. I don't really got to market it, but I market it anyway to let my people know, your fan base know that I have some sneakers, I have some headphones. I also have a water company, which is 50, so that's 350 company that I have a relationship with another distribution water company. Not you slap the logo on the bottle. No, I have an official water company, which
nice.
I'm closing out a deal with Walmart in a few for the water. And I'm not into selling poison. I'm into selling 100% spring water. And the name of my water is called Splash Drip H2O. I have to send you a pack so you could try the water out. So again, the reason why I started a water company, because I had a relationship. COVID hit the first time, case of water was $150. Well, you couldn't buy no water at Walmart. You couldn't buy no water nowhere. So, you know, I sat in this very room in my studio and said, what can I do to change the world? I said, you know, only thing I can do is change the world is I can invest in the water company. First thing I did, and when I invest something, I don't invest with people's money. I invest with my money that I've been building for years for my catalog. Understand, I got a heavy music catalog. I'm on records that people don't even know that I even wrote or produced. So by me having those royalties, I'm able to fund my own businesses because I don't wait on people. When you wait on people, that's your dream being stopped on somebody else. I don't wait on people. I'm Magic Johnson in this situation. I invest in myself. And when I say invest in myself, I invest in my business. Now, if I fail, then I get back up. and try it again. So I tell everybody, if you fail, get right away. Don't worry about it. You understand? So me being involved with this water company was a great look for me, because I'm going in a different direction. I can't rap all my life, but a good friend, Everlast, from House of Pain, told me one thing. He said, Rampage, when you rapping and you're not rapping, you got to have something for people to buy to keep your legacy moving. And this guy shows me $1 million check from those House of Pain t-shirts that he had on his wall that he never cashed. He said, I made $1 million off the House of Pain t-shirts. Mm. So now this brings you up to what I'm doing. I'm selling my memorabilia. I'm selling my t-shirts. I'm connecting with all these clothing people, and I'm drawing my picture, and I'm sharing my art, and I'm selling my art like if you're selling NFTs. Boom, I woke up one day. Peep it. I woke up one day. Somebody said something to me one day, and then the next day I woke up, and then my team calls me and say, hey, you just moved 2,500 shirts at $70 a shirt. Please do the math.
It's a lot.
And this is me not having no record in the market house, just me being on my social network, building me up.
Yeah.
You got to build yourself up. I moved 2,500 by being on Instagram. I moved all those sneakers by being on Instagram independently. I don't have no major help. This is me being me, but I'm doing my brand just like if I had a multi-million dollar deal with Coca-Cola. I move my brand like it's anything that I do it the best way I know how to do it. If I love it, I invest in it. If I fail, then I fail. Nobody else is going to fail. And I don't have no failures around me. I like thinkers and people that's scientists and people that love to create. I don't care what level you created on. We all connected and we all do the same thing. So I listen and I'm full of knowledge. Shit. So I got the sneakers, the shirts, the water. You know what I'm saying? Hold up. This is the first time I'm telling anybody this. Mm. I just bought 5 ATM machines.
Okay. Why so?
I bought 5 ATM machines. Having an ATM machine, now I'm getting into the banking and the financing. Rappers don't own ATM. When you need money for the next, and I did the research, having an ATM, it's like having real estate. And it moves faster than real estate. Everybody's searching to buy these houses and everything. But
right.
If you got an ATM, one ATM can pay for that new house that you've been wanting.
So another the ATM... ATM can,
right. So I'm into the ATM game.
So a person makes profit off an ATM machine by the ATM machine charging percentage for transactions, or?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah, and it's one of those things, it's like so many people need it. It's like gasoline. It's like toilet paper. It's like people using the ATM machine.
So let me draw you a picture because I'm an artist.
Sure.
So let me draw this picture. By me having 5 ATM machines, right? All my ATM machines. One is in the gas station, one is in the hospital, one is at a check cashing place, one is in the mall, one is in Coney Island, right?
Okay.
But my ATMs are in the places where people walk every day, 24 hours, 7 days a week. One is in the ice cream parlor.
Nice.
At Cold Stone, right? Nobody knows that I own the ATM machine, right? But what happens... right. But nobody knows I own them, right? So now, right. When I'm sleeping, I got the app on my phone to see how much money my ATMs are making.
That's awesome. Actually, that's totally awesome.
So guess what? I'm home, sleep, about to go into another country or do a show somewhere else, and my money is earned. So we talking long-term wealth now. So that five, right, is going to turn into 10. So if I have 10 ATM machines, let's just say one of my ATM machines is doing $7,000 a month. Let's say my other ATM machine is doing about $26,000 a month. Let's say I put an ATM in Walmart and Walmart's ATM go down and my ATM is on the is by the door where you come in at. Mm-hmm. Because it's positioning where you position your ATM machine. So I'm dealing with a company, that's all they do is go get you contracts for your ATM machine. So now, I was like, yo, what am I going to do next? So two days ago, I closed out on the deal with my ATM machines. And that's the new way, that's the new real estate.
That's fascinating. I would never, right? It's like something that most people don't normally go to. Everybody always goes like where whatever's most talked about because people see ads about stocks, cryptos.
So I'm glad you said that. Let me tell you this. Cryptos and all that stuff, I give it 22 more years before they retire money. Because none all that stuff you talking about is shaky. Mm-hmm. It's shaky. If you look at it, it's shaky.
It sure is.
It's not perfected. So that means they're going to continue to print money until they stop printing money. But at the end of the day, if I had my ATM machines for 22 years, I'm getting money for 22 years. That's long term.
Sure is.
Hold up. I don't even got to spin it because all I got to do is keep buying ATM machines. Right? So when your bank ain't got no money and my ATM is by your house at the checking or the shopping mall or the supermarket, and my ATMs they're going to be called RTMs. I did that for a reason.
Rampage TMs?
Yeah.
Nice.
So again, I'm thinking because yeah. And then the reason why I'm doing it, what happened if all that stuff that I got fails? Remember I told you, you got to get back up some way, somehow. So I'm doing this outside of music. None of this got anything to do with music. It's just using my musical resource and keeping relationships puts me in my finances good.
Yep, I think everything that you said is actually very important for any creative person to keep in mind because it's very easy for creative people or anybody trying to start a side hustle to focus just on creating more art, creating more music, creating more magic tricks, creating more graphic designs, creating more whatever. But your whole point here is smart thinking. You're thinking vision down the line, way down the future, what happens when I can't create no more art anymore because my hands don't work right, or I can't deliver lyrics on the mic because my voice doesn't work right, or what if I'm an athlete and my legs don't work right anymore? What am I going to do? Got to set
nobody, that. And you know what's crazy? Nobody is thinking like that.
Most people don't. That's true.
Nobody. And then yo, I was that back in the days. I made millions and millions. Where did it go? Who you let deal with it? We don't see you no more. I don't see the vision. The vision is gone. But me, I'm a totally different person because I showed you I went from here to here. And if this fell, I got here.
Now, you got options.
Because I got options. And I tell every artist, when you in the game, you have to utilize everything that you got right now. Don't wait till later, because I know artists that waited till later and I'm having conversation with them and they saying they broke. I'm like, how are you broke when you had the same thing I had? But then I thought about it. A lot of people wasn't listening. And we don't prepare. What happened if they don't give you your RIA? What happened if they don't give you your pension? What happened if the company goes under? They can't give you the thing they was promising giving you for years. I think about stuff like that. What happened? They told me, Rampage, you can't get dip no more. That's never going to happen. I like fresh sneakers. I like new watches. I like cars. You understand? So again, I put myself in situations that I know I can control and handle. I keep a relationship because having a relationship, you can generate money. And by generating money, there's no cap on it. No cap. So anybody that I do business with, there's money going on. And I don't gotta be loud. I don't gotta be flossy. I don't know. That's not me. When I walk away, when it's all said and done, I'm still fresh. My son is fly. My daughter is fly. You know, now I'm teaching them what I've learned. That's the biggest point that I can show my children.
Yeah.
And I can give it to them because I done made money from it. See, we don't teach those that's coming behind us. We don't go for long wealth. The Rockefellers, they went for long wealth. I think like that. Disney was going for long wealth. Disney's been gone for 100 and some years, and that dude is still caking paper.
He's still.
And it ain't broke.
No, it's only growing.
It's still growing.
Still growing.
So on top of the ATMs, I bought a credit solution company. Because one thing about people, we don't have the right credit to get these businesses or houses or whatever. So I own a credit solution, RTM credit solution. So I got the ATMs and then I got the... So understand what I just did. There's a lot of people in the world that can't get approved for anything because of their credit. Their credit sucks.
True.
So I created a whole new credit solution company. Then, online. Right? This is me. If I fail, then I get back up. But I already got 20 different businesses already turning. So if I fail, then I could go do something else.
Got it.
If that kind of makes sense.
It makes total sense. Having different fires in the iron, different fishing poles out there. When one doesn't bring in any fish, you tug on the other pole.
I'm at radio. I'm on Shady 45. I'm on Rock the Bells. I'm on 135 stations around the world. I DJ besides rap. I DJ. Mix Show Madness is my brand. Anybody see something that says Mix Show Madness, that's my brand. I'm on radio. So when I'm not rapping, I'm on radio. I'm as a DJ, as a disc jockey for those that don't understand. And I'm syndicated on 135 stations across the country. Now, I use that. Now you're hearing me. So when you don't hear me music-wise, you hear me as a DJ, either on Rock the Bells, I'm on iHeartRadio 24 hours, 7 days a week. And I'm on, you know, I'm on Shay 45. So I use that to create income. Oh, Rampage ain't put out music in the world, but he's on the radio. And I have millions and millions and millions. Remember, I got fans already, but now I'm entering a new fan base. So let's draw this picture. What happened? I say, you know, hey, everybody, yo, if y'all credit is messed up, make sure y'all log on to my new website, RTM Credit Solutions. I'll give you a free one for free. I'll do your credit for free.
And being on the radio allows you to basically plug all that stuff nonstop, right?
My man.
One thing. Does that make sense? It makes total sense. It all stacks up.
So everything I told you from the beginning, I plant myself there. Remember when they said you have to plant seeds? You have to plant your wave. If you don't plant your wave, nobody's going to know. Magic Johnson plants his wave. Nobody knew. Bill Gates plants his wave. You're planting your wave. Because again, every time you walk on something, it has to turn money. Every time I walk, it has to turn money. Because I put myself in those positions. I'm willing to do things that people are not willing to do. Now, I don't sell my soul. What I'm saying is I walk straight forward. I don't ask no questions. If I fail, then I got other things to skate out on. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I'm glad you made that clear and broke it down so it can be clearly understood. I totally understand. I think my viewers and listeners do. Don't rely on one thing, because you can't always count on one thing. You have to be, in better terms, I could describe you, Rampage. You're more like a public servant at this point. You know, with all of these things that you're doing, you're just variations of being a public servant. You're serving the public on Shadeford 5 with your spins. You're serving the public with the ATM, the credit check. You're serving the public with the sneakers and the shoes. And then you're also serving the public with the music. So it's kind of like if the public doesn't like one thing, they might like the other. And then that's how you kind of keep the balance.
Right. And then once it's set up, I'm skating again. I'm not waiting, because I wrote it down. You have to write it down. A bucket list. I got a bucket list. So these were the next two businesses that I was thinking about for me, not nobody else, but for me. Because again, we can't help people until we help ourselves. And also, you know, by this couple of things I'm doing with the water, like I did a deal with State Farm to feed the homeless water.
Nice.
Gave them water, you know, supporting communities with the water. I'm not blowing it up on billboard. But once I get in Walmart, oh, you're going to see me so heavy on the water and water campaigns and different celebrities talking about the water. It's gonna get crazy. I'm going for the number one water in the country. You know what I'm saying? We got the drip. I got that splash. You got that drip? I got that splash. Splash drip H2O. 100% spring water. Are you thirsty?
You know what I'm saying?
So I'm already, the marketing is already there. I'm already there. I already know what to do because I plant the seeds. See, when you plant a seed, anybody know if you plant a seed, all it does is grow.
Well, you got to water the seed, though. It doesn't grow by itself, right?
Right.
And the watering is up to you.
Exactly.
As the gardener or the farmer.
Exactly. So.
Right. Yeah, people throw seeds, and then they don't dig a deep enough part for the seed to fall into, and then the seeds get eaten by the birds.
So, again, there's patience. And, again, so. And again, it's having faith and believing. If you got all of that, you can never go wrong with what you're planning. You can't never go wrong with your brand. You can never go wrong with nothing. All you can do is just embrace it. All you can do is keep walking forward. All you can do is keep moving. Nothing should stop your movement. Nobody and no one but you.
If that ain't personal responsibility, I don't know what is, right? You know, you're taking responsibility for you and what you're doing. And that's respectable.
Correct.
That should be the way it should be done. Because when people get handed things on a silver plate, they never learn. You know, you get the easy instant gratification. You get the quick returns, but the long term, you don't learn anything, and most likely you're going to lose it all because you don't know how to manage it, because you never worked for it in the first place and never learned all the lessons along that way.
So let me tell you this. You see how people in our era is flashy?
Sure.
This is how I think. I want people to, so, yo, you got to be loud. You want the Bentley. You want the million-dollar houses. I don't want that. I'm this guy. When you walk in this building, that's for anybody. When you walk in this building and it's something that you need in this building, you'll never know that I owned it. When you walked in Rockefeller business building, you didn't know that the Rockefellers own this land, the land that these buildings are on.
Right.
Nobody knew that unless you went into history knowing that they bought up half of Manhattan. Me, when I buy something, you're never going to know that I own it. You could walk in a, like I have a Jamaican restaurant as well. You walk into my restaurant, you wouldn't know that I own it because I don't put it out there that I own it. But for those biased people, you're just going to know that the food is good. You know how you walked in Red Lobster? You might not know that I own Red Lobster. You might not know that I own Cold Stone Ice Cream. I own the Cold Stone Ice Cream. I owned the Cold Stone Ice Cream for a while. Nobody knew that I owned it, but it was profitable. Then I sold it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Warren Buffett, you know, with all his money, he drives some beat-up old car because he doesn't see any value. Like, there's no point of making a big show of it because it's not going to affect his income in a positive or negative way. He's more focused on assets rather than liabilities, and that's basically what we're talking about, buying assets versus liabilities.
Bring me to my new thing that I'm doing. So next couple of weeks, I'm looking for some land just to buy because now I don't know what I want to build on it. I just know that I want to own about 40 acres, and it's possible. That's all I need is 40 acres. I don't need nothing else. So I'm looking for 40 acres of land to buy right now, to purchase today, right now, because I invested in me. I didn't invest it in nobody else. I believe in me. I know what I see. I know the vision that I saw when I was a kid in Brooklyn. I don't want to go back.
Right.
So every time I think about going back, my hustle gets intense. You know how you work out that intense workout? I'm on that intense vision.
Yeah.
If you ain't got vision, stay away from me.
Yeah. It's a waste of your time.
Exactly.
And time is money.
Exactly. So that's just how I move. That's what I live by. And that's what I walk out on my faith. And I walk on myself, and I believe in my God, and I understand. I understand relationships. I understand listening. I understand knowledge. You don't know everything in the world. There's somebody younger than you that's a billionaire, but they got more drive than you.
Yep.
You never know. So that's how I think, bro.
Okay.
That's just how I move, Sean. That's what gives me everything. When it's not music, I'm always thinking of the next thing to do. Because again, when you run out of steam in this music business or this business we do, you gotta have things to fall back on.
And that's not the first time I've heard those words, fall back on. I've heard that so many times from not only my peers, but my elders, and I used to ignore it, but being older and more mature, I totally get it. And I hope people hear that and understand that. Even Sean Jay is saying that. I used to be totally against that theory, but I'm all for it now. I think there's more than one way creatives can serve the world.
Right.
Not just by creating that one specific piece of art. There's many more talents that most people don't even understand the other talents that they have because they don't even give themselves the permission to even go there in the first place.
Right.
They box themselves in and they pigeonhole themselves as this only. Like, you know, just pigeonhole yourself. You're a DJ only. So that's the only thing you do. And then if something goes wrong with that, well, you're in trouble because that's it. And there was been no thinking about anything else, no vision for the future, which is another important point that you said, a vision for the future.
Right.
So, I mean, you touched on a lot of things. You touched on a lot of the different business ventures
you asked, involved. You asked me to go from the beginning. That's what drives me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted to give the listeners know that I'm not just an average rapper. I'm a very smart business person. I believe in having something to fall back on because I never want my children to look at me like I failed because they are used to seeing me on stage, moving around, active, sneakers. I don't want to be doing this and then I can't show nothing to them and pass things on to them. I refuse not to do that. I don't want to be an artist that does that. I want to be able to make sure when it's said and done, which will be never no time soon, that God willing, that I can have something for them and pass it the wealth on to them.
Nice.
I have four grandbabies. I want to be able to pass it on to them.
There you go.
I'm not trying to make nobody else rich. I want my kids and my grandkids to be rich. Because if you plant that seed with them, then it's money all in the family. I don't got to worry about nothing because I know my kids and my grandkids is going to take care of me regardless if I get to Bill Gates status. Because my kids shouldn't have to want for nothing if I'm going hard in the paint now. I'm building seeds, growing companies, building seeds, putting water down over here. I'm over here. Okay, y'all going through stuff over here? I'm not going to come over here because I don't need those negative vibes in my soul.
Right.
No negative vibes in my soul. I wouldn't even talk to you. Because I don't want none of that to rub off me on what I'm doing because when I'm doing something, I'm in prayer mode. Anytime I do something, I'm in prayer mode. I'm praying on it. I'm building, I'm putting the seed in the ground and I'm praying on it. And I don't second guess it. It's when you second guess yourself is when you lose. Shit. You can't lose. What's the use of you being an artist and you can't push your artistry to the highest level? I'm pushing my artistry to the highest level. Because I don't want to come back where I was in the beginning.
There you go. Use that humble upbringing as the motivation. You just say, I ain't going back to that. And nothing's stopping me from, you know, pushing forward. Because that's not, you know, that was your past. But that's not, it doesn't have to be your future.
No, exactly. So, you know, Sean, man, you know, that's just me. You know what I'm saying? Everybody is different.
Right.
But I see the game for what it is. I understand it. It ain't personal. And I know that it's business. It's when you take it personal. It's when everything slows down for you. You're not on top of your business. You're going to lose. If you don't get the right person. And I tell everybody this. If you're going to be in the music business, get a music business entertainment attorney. Not a homeboy attorney. Not somebody who think they know the law. They can look at it. No, you want, if you're in the entertainment business, anybody that's watching this, get an entertainment attorney. Somebody that knows TV, television, films, royalties, CSAC, ASCAP, AFTRA, movie, film, television. You want an attorney that knows that lingo, not a homeboy operation.
Yeah, leave the homeboy operation at home where it belongs. If you want to do business,
right,
and get out in the business world, that's where you got to upgrade.
And the best deals for everybody that's paying attention. Anytime you do a business deal, you always want a clause to walk away with your masters. Now, I use the masters as walk away with the art. You always want to have a clause just in case you do business with somebody. If they don't live up to that obligation, you walk with your masters. That's been in my head since the 90s. I can walk with my masters.
And as a result, you can sleep better at night too, I'm sure.
knowing that I can walk with my masters, yep. knowing that I did great business with people. And because it was business, it wasn't personal.
Exactly.
You know, that's where I'm at with it, brother.
Wow.
They can't stop you, bro. They can't stop
you. Down. Well, as we transition into the next question, I'm just going to play our viewers a little sample of your songs that goes along with all these things that you're working on. This is a little taste of Time to Get This Money Right. I'm just going to put a few seconds on, and you should be Definitely. Able to hear it. You hear it? There it goes. I do it for the boroughs, time to bring New York back. And tell academics, show we need a wheel slap. And this is real talk, 100 straight facts. And then that was just a little teaser, I wasn't going to play the whole song. So for those that are interested in hip hop and kind of resonate with Rampage's style, check out Time to Get This Money Right. And he's still going. He's still reinventing himself daily. So follow his Instagram and you'll see plenty more stuff like this. So my next question that I have for you, Rampage, is like, what techniques, because I talk to creatives all the time and I like to know what maker techniques, in your case, it would be in the music world, do you say that you're best at? Would it be mixing, vocals, lyrics? What would you say you're best at?
Lyrics and production.
Lyrics and production. Okay.
So if I was a singer, it's lyrics. I'm a rapper, so that's lyrics.
Got it.
I have a great ear when it comes to merging lyrics and production, which is music together. I know if it's a hit or not. I just get a feeling. And the lot of records that I have that I produce or wrote, I have like over 46 gold and platinum records.
Nice.
So, and my catalog is thick. So lyrics and production. Lyrics. Does it mean?
Got it. Lyrics and production is your forte. So what about, now that we know that, are there any techniques that you're excited about learning this year? Meaning any new advancements in music technology or something that can help you with production or?
Yes.
Do tell.
I have Serato Studio that I used. Because I'm getting back on my production. That's the only thing I've been lacking is not making beats. So I'm getting back into my production, being the producer and being a ghostwriter. I am a ghostwriter. So, and being a ghostwriter, I write for certain artists. And
which you can't say because that's the whole point of it.
Or nobody knew. I write for Flavor Flav.
Really? That's
my big bro. Shout out Flavor Flav. I'm his ghostwriter.
Flavor Flav.
So, you know, but more production, more physically making the production, not just sampling, getting nice with the piano, getting back familiar with my sounds. The first machine that I ever bought was an MPC 2000, and I still have my MPC 2000. And I'm really good at recording Pro Tools. I use Pro Tools HD, and I record on my SSL board, and I track myself, and I engineer myself as well. So the last couple of years, I've been getting great at recording myself, not being in people's studio, being in my own studio, being creative, like I physically touch it. I don't need no engineer. I really do that. Recording my radio show, that's another thing. Doing imaging for radio stations, I do that. I do imaging and voiceover work and voiceover for cartoons. I do all of that out my studio. I do editing. I edit a lot of stuff, so I'm great at editing, music, commercials, clean, dirty. I know how to do all of that by myself. Just elevating more on these new programs and getting better at production. once I get my production really tight, then the sky's the limit. Then everything is going to roll. But I want to physically create the music. I know how to, but I'm not the best at it. But I know how to get better. I know because I invest in myself and bought what I need. So now I know what to do. And all I got is time before I go to sleep, and I just focus.
Yeah. And this is why you're still hungry in the game, right? Because you're not staying stagnant. You're still excited about learning things, and you want to know more about those new things. Which is...
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. It was just something that a lot of people, you know, they rest on their laurels and then they get stagnant and then they wonder why they're not as excited about their career choice anymore. So it's always good. That's why I always ask every guest, what are you excited about learning? Because there's got to be something. Like, if you genuinely care about the profession that you're in, there's got to be something that you aspire to learn next. Like, what's next?
And I have 100 new, I never tell nobody this. I got 100 songs. Done. I don't write nothing down. Everything's off top of my head, straight to Pro Tools. I learn it when I hear it a couple of times. I write nothing. I probably lay 4 records a day. I have 7 different producers.
These are already recorded?
Recorded. 100 records.
Do you intend on releasing them anytime soon?
One by one. That was the first one that you heard.
So that was recorded a long time ago, maybe, or a couple
no,
years
no,
ago?
No, I just recorded that one.
Okay.
A week ago?
Oh, okay.
So I recorded, then sent it to my engineer, and he mixes it and sent it back. And then I put it in my vault. And then when I'm ready, I'm ready to put it out. It's already mixed and mastered.
Okay.
So I recorded in the studio, in my studio. Then I sent it to my engineer. I don't go nowhere. I just recorded and I sent it. Mm-hmm. He sent it back. I don't leave.
Perfect. Remote work.
So when I'm not doing anything, it's either I'm cutting my radio show, uploading my radio show, or I'm cutting vocals for new records. And it's always fresh because you never heard them.
Nice. That's a great way to work. All right. What about, because I know that when you're doing this process and working on all these tracks and music, I'm sure not, it always doesn't go the way you want it. So I want you to take us to your biggest DIY fail of all time. I always ask my guests, like, if there's a piece of art or a piece of something that they're creating and then whatever they're doing, it just kind of blows up in their face. I'm sure you've had at least like one thing happen to you like that. And, you know, the crazier the story, the better. If you can think of something.
Well, I'll tell you.
Okay.
There was a situation where I got somebody a deal. And by me not being, you know, everybody was to blame, but it was some things that I thought I could have did better. But I learned that it's business, and I learned that it's never personal. And I learned about putting on other artists to do the same thing you're doing. And sometimes you got to take yourself out of it and put your artist that you want to put on. And doing the deal, we lost the deal. And it was a major one. So yikes. Everybody was at fault, but I know I could have did a little bit better. But I'm on my way of getting another chance of it because by relationships. So it was with a major, a big boy, and I think it was just timing. Timing was bad. Well, timing was right, and you know everybody was on the freeze. We was thinking one way when we should have continued to do what we needed to do. We got comfortable. You can't get comfortable when you sign deals. And that's what blew up in my face.
Mm. So specifically by getting too comfortable, were details overlooked? I'm just trying to get more. Of course,
correct.
You don't say the name of this person or the label,
right.
But like more details of why it went wrong.
And it went wrong because everybody who played the hand in it either didn't know because they were relying on the label. When how we got the deal with was just us. You know what I'm saying? And we all at fault. You know what I mean? But again, I know next time what to do. Because sometimes when you fail, you learn a lesson learned. But that was a big lesson that I learned.
Mm.
Big one for me.
Was it a classic tale of homeboy operation strikes again, or was this something else?
Well, a little bit of everything.
Oh, okay. Just everything wasn't right.
Operation, personal people's feelings, people are mad.
Ah.
They had nothing to do with things. And we as a team, we play our part, but, you know, I'm going to speak for me is we got a little relaxed when we shouldn't have got relaxed.
Got it.
We should have, the same attitude that got us the deal, that's the same attitude we should have just went. But we just thought when we got the deal, we relaxed, fell back, when we should have kept our feet on the gas. And that's what I learned.
Classic.
No, so I can only talk for anybody else.
Understood. Yeah, I mean, the overarching theme is probably like once the deal is signed for whatever contract or whatever, or in my case, a show is booked, that's just the beginning. Then you actually, once it's booked and the deal is signed, you have to execute, because that was the whole reason why the other party signed the deal in the first place, on the expectation that those signing the deal are going to execute and do it well.
Correct. So that's what kind of like blew up.
Got it. How about, was there anything that could have initially was perceived as a fail, but you ended up creating something amazing by accident, and then you just kept it, whether it be a thing that you do in your show or a technique for mixing or like a happy accident? Because people always have these, and some people are better at recognizing them than others.
Right. Well, only thing from bouncing from that is it made me a bit of better this person. Now I know not to take my feet off the gas. Now I know when it's in full go mode. Now I know that I'm not going to rely on nobody else but myself that got me here. So the opportunity that passed, other situation. Then I said, you know what? Because I plant that seed and I'm in prayer, because now I can get a second crack at it with somebody else. Now I, you know, again, sometimes you got to step back off your horse and figure out what went wrong. And then you be like, oh, that's what I did wrong. This time when I get that situation, it's putting me in a bigger situation. But now I really know what to do, because then I didn't know what to do, because again, I took my feet off the gas. When I wasn't supposed to. And that was coming from being relaxed.
Right.
Not supposed to be. I tell anybody, when you do a deal, it's go time. But I was relaxed. And I was too relaxed. I will never do that again.
All right. Well, that is a very good lesson to be learned from anybody. Not to rest on the laurels. Don't be too relaxed once the deal is signed. And keep the exact same amount of momentum, if not more, after you pass that checkpoint, basically.
Correct.
Rather than drop the ball. Got it.
Correct.
Got it. Well, since you are directly related to Busta Rhymes, this isn't a question I was planning on asking, but I think the viewers and listeners would want to know, do you have a favorite story, brief story, just kind of like something that you could summarize of just like the best, most amazing moment working with him? Maybe it was with Flip Mode Squad or something else.
Amazing story.
Yeah, just like some crazy story that nobody would ever believe, but it really happened when you two were together working on something.
When Busta called me on the phone with Craig Mack, that because they polyed me, they put me on Flavor in Your Ear remix. Called me out the phone with Craig Mack, and I hung up the phone at first because I didn't believe it. And
really?
the Flavor in Your Ear record was so big, but I didn't believe that. Busta called me on the phone with Craig Mack, and Craig Mack asked me that I want to be on the record. And then I just couldn't believe it. I didn't know what was going on. That was like the most exciting moment in my life. Like, that changed my life. That was another platinum record that changed my life. Mm. Took me off the block completely. You know, and again, Busta always tell me, if you fail, you got to get back up. And being with him, he will never let me fall. And he showed me that since we were kids. You know what I mean? Like, he will never let me fall, and I will never let him fall.
Nice. Looking out.
It's beyond a lookout. It's just, he changed my life. He took me off the block. I don't got to see the block no more. My mother's good. Like,
that's awesome.
You know what I'm saying? Like, my mother got a new crib. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pushing cars. I'm doing everything that I was supposed. I did everything that I was supposed to do. And I still listen. Mm. I never not listen. Listening gets you the millions. Listening gets you the knowledge. Listening gets you to wherever you want to get in life if you listen. Even though I was hard-headed, even though I fought him on some things, but every time he said something, it came to fruition. Because again, he's also another kid that painted a vision of what he saw. And every time he painted this vision, it happened. We all artists, you have to paint your vision. You have to see your vision. If you don't see your vision, then this ain't the field for you.
True.
Yes, sir.
Straight facts from Rampage right there. So, Rampage, who inspired you to be like a maker, a hustler, a builder of dreams and visions? I always ask my guests that because it's got to start from somewhere, right?
Correct. Busta Rhymes.
It was Busta. Nice.
Busta Rhymes. My mother. Our manager, Chris Lighty, he had a big management company. He taught me business, percentages, when and why and how. People don't know that. So RIP Chris Lighty. Being with my group, Flip Mode Squad, my brothers and my sister, big up to Rod Digger. Being around millionaires and billionaires and being on stages, coming across amazing people, geniuses, everybody's at a genius level, and me just listening and taking in knowledge from those that come before me and respecting the culture. Learning from Flavor Flav, learning from Hank Shock Lee, learning from Chuck D, being on the road with leaders of the new school, shout them out. Learning from Special Ed, who somebody from my neighborhood that was before me, who was very successful at the game that I was trying to be in, this thing called rap, and teaching me and understanding and showing me, being from my area, you have to have patience. the Jamaican West Indian roots. Listening to all those Bob Marley records, Yellow Man records, those in coming up in the 80s and 82 playing Skelly on the block. A lot of people don't know what Skelly is. Listening to rap battles, Kumo D versus Busy B. Watching Run DMC, Graffiti Rock. These are the things that influenced me. Understanding, watching the young hustlers in my neighborhood open up barber shops. If they don't sell drugs no more, they got barbers. That's with some of my watching that influence. Watching people around you that's not really your people. Just being true to yourself and being real with yourself, because we all living in reality world. Because every 30 days, your bills need to be paid. See, I was that kid from Brooklyn. I would get up with my cousin and go pack bags at the Met Foods, the seafood, pack bags. That's how I would start my morning. My cousin would make $100 a day packing bags and quarters. He'll make $100 a day. By the end of the weekend, he's already almost close to $1,000 in quarters. He would get up at 7:30 in the morning, pack bags until 8 o'clock at night, then come back to my house and count $100 in quarters. This is the early 80s. One of my cousins. If that's not a real hustle, I don't know what to say.
That's 400 quarters every time, I think, right?
Yes, sir.
Something like
that. Every day.
Dang.
Every day, for as long as I can remember, my cousin packing bags at the Med Foods around my way, and we were on the block riding BMX bikes. He was in there packing bags, and he made $100 in change every day packing bags.
Hustling.
People's bags. He is the all-time hustler to me. Before the street hustlers. And then I never understood why he did that, but now I understand why he did that. And he's still up from today. He's still doing his thing today. You understand? So, yeah, man. Watching my mother used to clean houses for rich people in Manhattan. And I remember this lady, Miss Fife, gave my mother had been working, cleaning her house for years. And I remember Miss Fife giving my mother Atari 2600 with every last cartridge because her son went away to college and he didn't play it no more. But the dope shit about my Atari, it came with the expansion module. And the expansion module was connected to ColecoVision. And I didn't know that because we didn't have the internet then. But I was the only kid in my neighborhood on New York Avenue that had every cartridge for Atari 2600. Every last cartridge they ever put out, I had. From Dig Dug to 1942, to Pac-Man Jr., Donkey Kong Jr., Centipede, Millipede, Jungle Hunt, Pitfall.
All the classics.
Robotron. What?
Yeah. Classics, man.
You don't understand. Yo, Sean, I was one of those kids, man. I had it all. I had Nintendo when they had the robot. Didn't know what the robot did, but I had that. So well, I was one of those happy kids that my mother always made sure that I had. And big up to my mother. Big up to my mother, Catherine. Man, I got a big, and her birthday was a couple of days ago. So big up to my mother and happy birthday to my mother.
Happy birthday, Catherine. Your son, you blessed your son. Your son has become a fine young man, and has learned, and here he is. So I'm sure your mother's very proud of you with all of the things that you've accomplished.
Man. So, yeah, man. Jay. Yeah, man. I had to do it to you, man. I had to. You asked me to. It wouldn't have been real if we didn't do it that way.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate you bringing up the mom. That's always important. So last two questions for you, Rampage. Last two would be, what resources would you recommend to anyone out there who is interested in DJing, mixing, producing, or creating their own music? And then lastly, where can we find out more about you and give us specific links? And if there's anything that you make or sell, we'll...
So everybody can find me on social media at The Real Rampage or Rampage the Last Boy Scout. Again, at The Real Rampage or Rampage the Last Boy Scout. Facebook, Roger Rampage McNair. Facebook, Roger Rampage McNair. Boom. Now, for the other question is, if you want to be a part of this DJing, MCing first, if you're a DJ, you have to start off with your own equipment. You got to work hard and get your own equipment or go to the pawn shop and build your equipment. That's what I did. I went to the pawn shop and I built myself equipment. Then I got great. And then I started becoming great. Then I finally put in and bought my own equipment, my DJ equipment. As far as producers that's coming up in the game, you want to produce films or produce music, get you a beat machine, buy your used Canon camera. Start. There's editing programs, buy your great computer that has a lot of RAM. Start editing films. There's some apps that you can get that you can edit films. Invest in what you want to do and keep your feet on the gas and don't stop.
Well said, Rampage. Well, man, this has been a very insightful, mind-expanding deep dive into the mind of Rampage tonight. I am very grateful that you've taken the time to be on this show. And I never have done this on a show before, but I figured it might be the perfect time with you. How good are your bars, man?
Oh, my bars is good. You want a couple of them?
If I play a beat, you'll say a few and I'll say a few. How's that? And we'll close it out.
All right, go ahead.
Because I think you might recognize.
You set
this
it off. Go ahead.
Might recognize okay. This one.
Flip more verses.
You recognize this one?
Yeah, I know that beat.
Of course you do. So, did you say you want me to set it off or you to set it
you
off?
You set it off.
I set it off.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Here we go. Listen. This is actually the first time. Actually, the second time I'm hearing this beat. We just filmed an episode, it's like the next episode, just on the back of the horses that I just rode. We're just riding in, we're straight now styling. I'm doing my own freestyling, we're out wilding. I'm like learning so much knowledge that you can't even get from college, that you can't be bought, just like he's saying. He's not playing, he's very serious, he's not crazy, he's not delirious, he's like Rampage. He's increasing his wealth, he's got higher wages. Writing his lyrics without any pages. He's got it in a lyrical vault. Come on, it isn't his fault. He's got it coming out of his mind. He's got so many lines. And lines after lines as I just go back in time, take the tape and rewind. Yeah. And now as we go right on to the back
so I
to
say,
the beginning.
Juice dripping, honey's tripping, Bentley blue truck 23 stay spinning. My name on the leather logos on the engine. Lieutenant Dog, I'm big money spending. For all you street people, I'm back with a vengeance. My gun's in the stash box, shoot off your hinges. I see the world through my Cartier lenses. I'm a rich dude, I crash four Benzes. Party at my loft, you can bring all your friends. Dro, Hennessy with cranberry. Shorties wanna crush, on my eyes is all cherry. Mommy looking right, yo, she look like Holly Berry. Iceberg suit matching hat, Tom and Jerry. Flat screen, DVD library. Watching Godfather and my couch is Burberry. Hey, man. Hey, hey.
Back to Brooklyn, man. You know what they're cooking up at the fork right there up in New York. I'm about to pop a cork because I got so much running through my head. Other people rather be somewhere else instead. But I hope you're right here listening to me. You're listening to Rampage. Take his advice because he's talking so nice. And now I'm chopping the beat up. I'm going to make it just splice.
I say you make an explice and I'm sitting drinking that Redia on ice, and it's just how I move. Don't disturb the groove. I'm back to the game just to eat your food. It's the Flappers Lieutenant, Flipmo Lieutenant. You see my rings, I'm kind of classic Bill Bennett, and I'ma have to do it because oh, I got the tonic, plus I got the smoke. You could call it the chronic. 2194, I'm the real outlaw. Got guns that'll tear off your door. This is how I do it when it comes to skills. Me and my friend, we keeping it real, keeping it real. The lyrics I spill, everything is from the top. You see me in the new 600, the drop is Rampage. I'm going pop, never gonna stop. This is how I do, cause I got it on lock. Me and Sean got it on lock. Record hot, watch it, take your slot, do everything. I'm just the one that'll make you sing. Freestyle fanatic off the brain. Insane, like Cypress Hill, insane. Neil know my name in vain. People just stay in your lane. Even though I'm way off course, you need off. When it comes to the lyrical skill, I keep it real. It's Rampage, I'm hard to kill. Back to it, nothing to it. I run through it, it's just music. I just influence it. Now you, how I go, L. Yay.
Yes, so beautiful. He's so dutiful to the rap game. That's how he's straight moving, perusing, picking that and just choosing. He dives in just like with the flip mode. People can't understand, he's speaking in code. Now watch me as I unleash my lyrical load. It's like a pie with an a la mode. It's so sweet right now. It's a lyrical treat as I bring the hot heat. I make you feel complete as I'm riding on the back of this flip mode squad beat. And I keep on going, I straight flowing, I'm all knowing, just like where the green grass is growing. And now as we reaching the end, I think hopefully now I just made a new friend, and his name is Rampage. Just like a rule, I'm gonna pull it out and gauge our connection. You could see, man, we got a whole new direction that we're just going. We're just moving, we're changing people's minds as we just remind. We're putting them in a new mental state as I just rhyme great. Shout out to Biggie as I just elaborate. And now I'm gonna now set the record straight. You've been listening to the Making Magic podcast, and I hope it was a blast. Here comes the end, and I hope it depends, man. This is how I'm gonna be paying the rent. I think I gotta wind it down, turn it down, turning on the sound as it fades right out. We got the Flip Mode Squad right here, strong just like a rod, and I think Rampage says praise the Lord and praise God, right?
Salute. You sound dope over there, Sean. I'm watching you. We got to do joint together. It's going to happen.
Thank you for this. This was friggin' awesome. I feel blessed. Thank you.
Salute, brother. Definitely call me, Sean.
Right on.
I'm gonna send you my number right now.
Excellent.
All right,
and
brother.
As always,
salute.
You all are watching.
To everybody that's watching this. Yep.
Salute. Y'all been watching another episode of the Making Magic podcast, and I want to thank you guys so much. Please subscribe, like, comment, turn on the notifications if you're watching on YouTube, and if you're listening to the sound of our voices on any of the popular podcast apps, please do share your review. Hopefully you got some value out of this conversation. So thanks so much again. This is Sean Jay and Rampage, and we'll see you guys on the next one.